104.5 The Zone, 717. Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone. Mark Howard and Blaine Bishop, Kevin Ingram, Jonathan Schaefer, our producer. Let's head to Knoxville from Sports Radio WNML. Our man Jimmy Himes. Jimmy, happy Monday. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine, guys. How are you?
We're good. We're good. What is your assessment of this situation with Rick Barnes and UCLA?
Well, I'm not really sure. I made a first call yesterday to Rick Barnes at about 2 o'clock, and I've not heard back. I've called him multiple times. I've texted him. I've talked to other people. And I'm just not real sure. He's such a great fit at Tennessee, and I don't think he's a great fit at UCLA. But maybe he sees that differently. He's typically not been about the money. I know that he has fought at different times to try to get more money for his assistants or those working in the footman in the basketball office. I don't know of any problem he's had at Tennessee that would make me think, yep, he's had a rift with somebody here or there. I think he's gotten pretty much most of what he wanted. He was bumped up to the second highest paid coach in the SEC last year, before last season, which I thought he deserved. So I don't know. I certainly think that there is a serious situation going on. I think he has talked to UCLA and obviously talked to athletic director Philip Fulmer. I don't know if he's going to go or stay, but I have not been able to get a real good read on whether or not he would leave for UCLA. And I think he's a better fit here as a guy from the South. And I just don't know if UCLA is going to be a great fit for him. Now, somebody suggested to me last night, maybe he knows that Grant Williams and Jordan Bone are going pro. Well, maybe. And so that's going to be a heck of a rebuilding job for Tennessee. But I certainly think it's a serious situation. But I do not know at this point whether or not he's going to go to UCLA.
I know this is kind of asking you to speculate, but how do you think Philip Fulmer handles this whole thing? And, you know, what's his approach with Barnes?
I think you do whatever it takes to keep him here. He's such a great fit. He's done a wonderful job. Look, you've got the money, and you've been spending most of it on football. I get that, and you need to fix football. But so far, the return on football, whether it's Philip Fulmer's era or before that, he hadn't got much return. You've already got a proven guy, and you've gotten a return from Rick Barnes, so you need to do whatever you can to keep him. And there's another way. Is Rick Barnes looking at it and thinking, okay, I've lost my top assistant, Rob Lanier. I might be losing Desmond Oliver. I might be losing Bone and Williams, in addition to the two seniors that are leaving, Schofield and Alexander. And maybe he thinks, okay, let's go try to rebuild somewhere else. I don't know. But if I'm Philip Fulmer, I do everything I can to keep Rick Barnes. If you don't, then you're going to catch a lot of flack for not doing that. So I think he needs to reach out and do everything he can to keep Barnes.
Was Rob Lanier leaving for Georgia State a surprise?
Yeah, a little bit. He almost went to, was it Missouri State last year? He had told me a while back that he wanted to stay while his son was still in high school, which was one more year. But I think he looked at Georgia State and he thought there was just too much potential there. His son, who's a rising point guard, who's had offers from a number of schools, including Belmont, I'm told, is a 6'3 point guard who will remain in Knoxville and play here while Rob Lanier goes to Georgia State, which, by the way, has an enrollment of 50,000. Now, many of those are commuter students. But so I wasn't real surprised. I knew that he was having overtures from programs. I just thought he might stay one more year because of his son.
7:21, the time. Our guest is Jimmy Himes of Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville.
Well, Jimmy, you know, we all know what was offered to Calipari there to go to UCLA, and he turned down. I don't think they were offering that to Coach Barnes. But what do you think is the number, if we want to speculate on numbers, just to get him and make him feel comfortable and that he would stay? Is the number around like $5 million? What is your guess?
To stay?
Yes.
I would say, yeah, I would think that. $5 million. It may be slightly less than that. I don't know. Okay. And I don't know what UCLA's offering him. And, you know, they can, they're focused, they would be focused on paying whatever they have to get a good coach in there to fix that program, because while Tennessee's trying to fix football, UCLA's trying to fix basketball. And it's a big deal to UCLA. But I just wonder if Tennessee matched whatever UCLA's offering, would he stay? I don't know of anything that indicates to me that he's unhappy at Tennessee. He's a great fit in Knoxville. He's done a tremendous amount of things in the community. In fact, he's speaking at a big banquet, or he's supposed to be, on April the 16th at a banquet in Knoxville. So I don't know. It's kind of puzzled me a little bit. I guess I wouldn't be surprised either way, but if I had to bet, I think he's going to stay in Knoxville. We'll see.
Yeah, it's just kind of interesting at this point in his career that he would uproot and then kind of start anew. We all know it's always about the money, right? So with that being said, Farmer now also still has to find a Lady Vols coach. And, you know, all we keep hearing is Kelly Harper as well as Kara Lawson. So where do you think that's going?
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I know this. They've interviewed Kelly Harper. I don't know that they've actually interviewed Kara Lawson. She's been busy with ESPN. They've interviewed Wes Moore. He's the coach at NC State. Oh. Used to coach at Tennessee Chattanooga. So he's been interviewed. Kelly Harper, by the way, used to work for Wes Moore, and that was at UT Chattanooga. Another name I've heard is Tina Langley at Rice. I'm not sure how serious of a candidate she is. I know that Wes Moore, if you've interviewed Wes Moore, he's got to be a candidate, all right? So I'm going to go Moore and Harper. Now, Kara Lawson has told some people I've talked to that she does not want to get into coaching. And she has coached 3-on-3 basketball, which is nothing like coaching college basketball and recruiting and all that goes into that. But she's told some people that I know she's not interested in getting into coaching. Now, could Philip Fulmer change her mind? Could other Lady Vols tugging at her change her mind that, hey, you're the savior of this program? Maybe. So it'll be interesting to see. I have been led to believe that Fulmer was planning to make this hire by the end of this week.
Oh.
So we'll see how quickly he moves on that.
One more question on the Rick Barnes. I have to ask you this. If you had to come up with a punch list, just speculative, I say Chris Byrd, they're naturally at Texas Tech. That probably won't ever happen. But if you did, who you think would be on the list? Let's say if you got a couple guys you think off the top of your head that would be a good fit for Tennessee for the men's basketball program.
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Man, I know.
I hadn't thought about you asking who's going to be a good fit at UCLA. Tennessee has, they've made some decent hires in basketball. I mean, I look back and I still think Bruce Pearl was a really good hire, regardless of how it ended. He gave you six very good years. I think if you can get six really good years out of anybody nowadays, that's good.
Yeah.
Konzo Martin, I think, was a good coach. Contrary to what people say, he wasn't running out of town. He had a disagreement over his contract, and that's why he left. At least that's what he told me. So Donnie Kendall was a screw-up, and then Rick Barnes is a really good hire. I don't know. I hadn't really thought about that. Get Rick Byrd out of retirement. How about that?
That's what I said.
You must have been listening.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, he did say that.
One Rick retirement is over with.
Yeah, that's right. Didn't last long, did it, Rick? Come on.
Jimmy, football over the weekend, I guess they scrimmaged. Give me a few highlights from what you've heard.
Josh Palmer caught a touchdown pass. Yeah. Garantano had a pretty good day. The defense performed better than it had in the previous scrimmage. The defensive line is still a concern. The offensive line is still a concern. Those are two of my biggest concerns. I didn't hear a whole lot more about it other than those two things.
What about that? Where do you feel like Garantano is with Jim Chaney? You feel pretty good that Garantano is going to thrive under him?
I do. Now, I know some people are saying, okay, this is his fourth offensive coordinator. That's true, and under each new coordinator, you can learn. But I have seen coaches go in and take over. Look at what Chaney. And I know Lane Kiffin gets a lot of credit for this, but look at what Chaney did with Jonathan Crompton. He turned him into a draftable player in 2009. Now, it took almost till midseason before Crompton really turned it around. And I remember Tennessee played Auburn, and Auburn beat Tennessee, but Tennessee made a rally. And what they did was they spread the field and ran a hurry-up offense, and Crompton thrived. And Chaney, I remember Chaney telling me after that game, he said, we found what we need to do to make Crompton play at his best. And so they did. And so he helped Crompton in that 1 year immensely. I've seen other quarterback situations evolve the same way, where the guy came in and and did a really good job in developing somebody. So I think Garantano's going to have his best year. The one thing he does two things really well. One, he takes the hit, takes too many. Secondly, he doesn't throw many interceptions. So that's what you're working with off the top. But going forward, he's got to make more plays. He didn't throw for 2,000 yards last year. There's not a whole lot of quarterbacks that started in the SEC that last year that didn't get 2,000 yards. They also had 12 touchdowns. He needs to almost double that. So I do think he's going to do well. Plus, I think the receivers are good. I think Ty Chandler's really good. I think Jordan's a nice player. Eric Gray's going to help. So I think the supporting cast, except for the offensive line, is good enough for Garantano to thrive.
Continue our Monday morning chat with Jimmy Himes from Sports Radio WNML in just a moment right here on The Zone. Plus, our Lee Company Hot Performer is not too far down the road. Mark's going to tell us more about the Lee Company.
That's right. Did you know that Lee Company technicians now wear smart glasses so you can see your home through their eyes? It's a really cool use of wearable technology. You can lay eyes on your home's heating, air conditioning system, the pipes in the crawl space, the insulation in the attic, you name it. But you won't have to climb up a ladder or crawl under the house. Your Lee Company technicians can virtually take you there with the use of their smart glasses. Make informed decisions. Enjoy the benefits of technology. Put to good use. Integrity and transparency matter. There is so much more to this. You have to experience the Lee Company difference. Are you ready to see your home like never before? Call them at 615-567-1000 or request your next appointment online at LeeCompany.com. Lee Company, 615-567-1000 or LeeCompany.com.
The Wake Up Zone, 734 on 104.5 The Zone. Coming up shortly, you're going to have Tyler Dunn with us. Wrote that interesting story about Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy and how things went down with the Packers for Bleacher Report. That's coming up at 747 this morning. Let's continue our visit with Jimmy Himes, Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville.
Jimmy, interesting to me that, the linebackers, Quavarius Couch and Daniel Betulli have been cross-trained at both linebacker spots. What are their ideal positions in your mind?
No doubt, Betulli inside. Couch, I think, has the ability to play both of them, and they're trying to figure out what spot is best suited for him. And keep in mind, Darren Kirkland Jr. is not practicing this spring, and so they're trying to find enough linebackers to fill all the positions that they have. I hadn't thought of it this way until Jeremy Pruitt got hired last year, but he said he's looking for linebackers. He can play all four positions, and he considers the different outside linebacker spots is two, and the two different inside linebacker spots is two. So he's trying to find people and cross-train them, almost like he's cross-trained an offensive lineman to be able to play guard and tackle. So he's been Crouch is working there. I don't know Crouch's best position. Frankly, I haven't seen enough of him to tell, but there's no doubt in my mind Betulli's best is inside. Betulli is not as good at open space. He's not good necessarily at covering backs out of the backfield and so forth. So, and he's led the team in tackles the last 2 years, and I would expect him to lead them again. But with Crouch, I think it's still to be determined which is his best spot at the linebacker position.
Georgia transfer D'Angelo Gibbs apparently looked pretty good at wide receiver. I mean, like impact player good. So why did they move him back to the defensive side?
I don't know. Gibbs, he's a really good athlete, and maybe they – I don't know if they feel like they need more help in the secondary. They've got enough bodies back there, but maybe they feel like they just want to take a look at Gibbs and see where he, because he played 2 years at Georgia in the secondary. That receiver, Tennessee, is pretty good, I think, with Callaway and Jennings and Palmer and Brandon Johnson, that group. But they're going to be losing some. And so that would be another reason I would take a look at Gibbs, where I think he'll end up on offense because of that situation, but I do think that he's athletic enough. And look, this is not unusual for Pruitt. He has looked at people on offense and defense quite a bit, and so I don't know that just because they move Gibbs that he's necessarily going to stay on defense. He could very well end up on offense.
Jimmy, to kind of finish where we started, when do you think we know something on this whole Rick Barnes and UCLA situation?
Today. I don't think this thing is going to linger. I think something needs to be done, and with all the reports that are out there and so forth. Now, by the way, there was one report that Lon Kruger had interviewed also, and Kruger came out with a statement that said he didn't interview at UCLA, and nobody at UCLA contacted him. So, but with the Barnes situation, I do believe there's something to this, But I think they've got to get this resolved today. I don't think you want this lingering. And so I would expect either UCLA to announce they've hired him or Rick Barnes to announce he's staying, one way or the other.
And one more. When do we know something official on Grant Williams?
I would expect him to declare for the NBA draft to go through the workout process like Schofield did. He hasn't done that yet, but he won't hire an agent. I think he'll go through the process, and I think he'll do that soon. Soon meaning this week. And then he'll come back with the feedback that he gets, and then he'll make a determination as to whether or not he'll remain at Tennessee or go pro.
Virginia or Texas Tech tonight?
Virginia. They seem to be a bit of a team of destiny. And I like Texas Tech. They play defense. Mooney, I didn't know that much about Mooney. That guy can play. Culver's really good. And both teams get after it on defense. But I think Virginia is slightly better. I'll take Virginia by two.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jimmy. We'll talk to you Friday.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
All right. That's Jimmy Himes, Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville, every Monday and Friday here on the Wake Up Zone, talking Tennessee.